Let us pray. Father, we just want to worship you and adore you today as a good, good Father. And we also want to thank you for this offering this morning, Lord, and that you will bless it and multiply it for this church. Father, this morning as well, come and touch us this morning with your Holy Spirit. Each and every one of that senses of us that is so important so that we can worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you see that the theme this morning is the five gates of our five senses. And I never knew there was so much information and research done on our senses. Because everything, all your information, everything has to first come through one of your senses before it can be accepted by the brain and before you can understand your surroundings. And that's why God has created us with five very important senses. First, it's our sight, our eyes, our hearing, our tasting, our touching, and also our smelling. And what happens, each one of these senses transmitters daily sends thousands of messages through to the brain that the brain needs then to transmit into information. And that's critical for our life. Every second of each, every day, every second, one of your senses is working. Your senses never goes to sleep. Even while you are sleeping, all your senses is at work. Your brain uses this then to bring about certain perceptions. And I'll speak a little bit about the perceptions later, because this is where a problem is my perception might be different from yours. Our five senses is then gates through which information enters into the mind. But there's two sides of it. We've got spiritual gates. We've got the five senses that connect to the spirit. And then we've got the ones that's connected to the flesh and the carnal. And also this five senses is gates sometimes deep to our soul. I just want to give you this background so you just get on the same picture. I remember I always told you that God first speaks to me. So this is it's a place of entrance. As you open a door or close a door, it's a place of entrance. And in order for the spirit to sidestep, I want to say, the natural and take you into the spiritual, these gates of yours need to be opened in the spirit as well. Because, and then also without our senses, just think of it. You can't hear, you can't smell, you can't taste, you can't see, you can't feel. You're dead. That's what happens. Now, God has created us very unique. And this is, I just want to read this psalm this morning. Psalm 139, 13 to 16. It says, "You alone created my inner being. You knitted me together inside my mother. I will give thanks to you because I've been so amazingly and miraculously made. Your works are miraculous, and my soul is fully aware of this. My bones were not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, when I was being skillfully woven in that underground workshop. Your eyes saw me. And when I was only a fetus or an embryo, every day of my life was recorded in your book before one of them has taken place." Now, God is our creator. So each one of you sitting here this morning, know that you're unique. Say, I am unique. Yes, thank you, Lord. You're a unique creation of God, and you are beautiful as well. When last did somebody tell you you're beautiful? God tells you this morning, you are beautiful. So God has a very unique and special and a wonderful purpose. Doesn't matter your age, for each one of you today. Each one of you. And he gave us different senses, almost as a gift, so that we can use it. And primarily, he gave it to us to do what? To worship and praise him. So with our senses, none of the experience, we will never experience the same thing. Even if we listen to the same person, like this message in the morning, there will be some of you that hear something different from somebody else, but you heard exactly the same message. So there's always a difference of our senses. That's why it makes us so unique. But sight is the most dominant and most important of everything. I think they say 80% of everything that your brain translates come from your sight and what you see. And this is sometimes what happens, that our eyes is overriding what we're hearing. So sometimes what we see, we don't hear what we should hear. So our emotions and senses are also influenced. They influence each other. Let's just take for this morning, the fire alarm goes off, and the next moment we smell smoke. What happens? One of two things, fight or flight. Immediately your emotions kicks into place. So our senses must always be sensitive for the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:10, it says there, another can work miracles, another can speak what God has revealed, another can tell the difference between spirits, another can speak in different kinds of languages, another can interpret languages, each one of them with something different. It is amazing to see how God has shown me in this week that the five senses, how they are connected to the five most important furniture that we find in the temple of God. In Exodus 35 to 40, when you have time this week, just read through it. Sometimes it's good to read that as well, but God is doing everything very specific. Nothing in the Bible is just there. Nothing. There's not a word written in the Bible that doesn't have meaning and purpose. Now, the first one we find is the altar of sacrifice. This was basically the first place that the priest or the worshiper walked into, was this place of worshiping. This, when he encountered, when he came through the door of the temple, there was this brass altar, they call it, this big brass altar, whereupon three fires continuously had to burn. So this is also where they basically burned the offerings. This is where the clean lambs and goats would have been offered, where they have slaughtered them before God, especially for the atonement, for the sins of the nation. So this was a place, not only for forgiveness of sin, but this was a place of smell. Now, have you ever smelled when animals were burned? It is not a nice smell. So what is the smell? That is a sin. This morning, this is a smell that was not given to heaven, but the people in the camps, that millions of Jews around, when there was Atonement Day, imagine thousands of animals were slaughtered. That smell that was in the camp. And that smell is a smell. It's not a good smell. So the sense of smell was the primary thing in this first, in the altar of sacrifice. In Leviticus 21:18, it tells us that among other things, if a man had a deformity of his nose, he could not function as a priest. So a priest had to be able to smell. Otherwise, he couldn't become a priest. So the Lord's glory come in with an aroma. You see what happened first, the burnt offering went up. It was a horrible, and then after that, God's beautiful fragrance and aroma came in and people could smell that. We can also see this in John 12:3, where we read about Mary when she anointed Jesus' feet with that costly oil. And it says that then Mary took a pound of a very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. I just want you to sit here, close your eyes this morning, and just smell the fragrance of the Lord this morning. Just smell it. And some people always ask me, but what do you think Jesus smelled like? Man, he was always there where the sheep was. As I always said, it must be like a shepherd. A sweet smell like a shepherd. Because the moment you smell that fragrance from God, that sweet smell, it will be a result of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, in those days, they didn't have the Spirit. God came with the Spirit at a specific time when something, a certain ritual was done. But with us, it's dwelling within us. The Spirit is always ready to bring in that fragrance into the room. So many studies have shown that smell also has a powerful effect on the memory, especially taking you back to a particular circumstance and place in time. I worked at once with a young girl. I could never. She went to so many psychologists, and at some stage, the parents came to me for deliverance, and I said, but first, you know, we sometimes just want to deliver, but sometimes there's a cause, and we really prayed. And it came out, I started to let them keep a diary of everything, what happens, when it happens. And then they found out every time, because especially when their mom went to buy clothing or whatever, and Edgar's, at a certain stage, she just loses it and she throws around everything, breaking bottles, and they couldn't establish what was wrong. And it was because of that men's aftershave she smelled. And it came back after that when we took her to other people, and other resources I used, it came out that she was molested by a family member, and he always used Old Spice, specifically Old Spice. So every time this little girl smelled that specific smell, it took her back exactly to that traumatic event. And this is what God means by this here. So smell is the only sense as well that where it receives the signal is directly from the glands of your nose straight to the, they say the olfactory bulb of the brain. It's the only one of the senses that immediately when you smell, it's directly into your brain. Philippians 4:18 says, also speak of our offerings, creating an aroma. Our financial giving, like this morning, is also viewed as an offering. This morning when you brought your tithes to the Lord, there will be a sweet fragrance in heaven this morning. And God will. He will bless you. So 2 Corinthians 2:15 said, to God we are the aroma. This is the most beautiful scripture. We are the aroma of Christ among those who are saved and amongst those who are dying. So the Bible basically, God basically tells us here that we as believers carry the aroma of Jesus personally. So the question this morning, are we carriers of the sweet fragrance of Jesus this morning? Are we? You see, it's the same aroma which Esther carried long before this young girl that was brought to him entered into the chambers of the king. He smelled them already. Because for months before the time, they were prepared. They were bathed in certain oils and fragrances and perfumes and ointments that were rubbed onto them so that the king, so they could smell nice before the king. What kind of smell are we bringing this morning into the courtroom of our king? You see, we are the sweet fragrance of Christ which goes up to God. Romans 12:1 says, I encourage you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice dedicated to God and pleasing to Him. You see, this kind of worship, God appreciates. Because that's what He wants. He wants us to bring ourselves and sacrifice ourselves before Him. The second furniture was the laver of washing. This was the second piece of furniture, and it was a washing basin laid out with gold, and the priests call it the laver. They called that the lavatory. Do you know that? A place of washing. I never knew that. It came after the altar of sacrifice and then into the entrance of the holies. He said, in this holies, this is the first two. From here on, there's three other furnitures we're going to look at that's in the holies. And this was all about forgiveness and purification by the water, because this is all about the touch. You see, the word purifies us, therefore we need to saturate ourselves in the word of God. That means, it's like when you take your hands and you put it in that basin and the priest washed him just after the sacrifices. He touched it, and the touch was important, but that because that physical touch that he could feel and the senses of the touch sent to the brain was standing then against the touch of the sacrifice, which was the sin. Remember, just before washing his hands, he was touching the animal, because basically the animal was a sacrifice for the sins of the people, and he had to wash it. And that's exactly what happens to us. The perfect lamb was slaughtered for us, and was hanged on a cross, and his death brought the salvation for us, and purification, and washing away our sins. We always have to stand, and especially the young ones that's here this morning, the teenagers. I want to tell you something. The truth is that if sin of the flesh was not fun or excitement, I want to ask, why would it attract so many young people? We know there's fun in it. There's excitement in it. But you can find it in God as well. You see, we need to understand that for this reason as well, because sin is fun sometimes, we find it easy to side with the pleasures of the world. And even with our senses. But now we need to understand our enemy, the devil, is a master of deception, deceptor in feelings. And he uses all these false feelings, all these false feelings that we have, this offense in the heart, all those things. He uses it to influence us to make wrong choices, to say wrong things, to do wrong things. You see, we are fooled by our feelings most of the time. Almost like Isaac in Genesis 27. Isaac was blessing Jacob, but he thought he felt the long hairs on the body of Esau. He was fooled. How many times do we try to fool God by putting on false skins to impress Him? God does not want me and you to impress Him. We cannot impress God. He's given His only Son for us. We can't impress Him with anything that we do or bring. You see, the sense of touch is that true feeling can be that amazing, amazing experience that we read of the woman that had the issue of blood in Luke 8, 44 to 46. She said the following, "If I may touch his garment, shall be made well." Before this happened, she had to push through. I believe she was on her hands and feet, walking on her knees between, because they said that the people were so much, they were crushing Jesus to get to him, but she did. And then she touched him, and this is what Jesus said. He replied, "Somebody touched me, because I know that power has gone out of me." There's power in the touching of Jesus. Believe me this morning, there's power in the touching of Jesus this morning. It's an amazing fact that Jesus is also touched with our feeling of weakness. Do you know that? I'll read it for you. In Hebrews 4 verse 15. "For we have not a high priest," that's Jesus, "which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." So every time you feel sad, every time you feel weak, Jesus is touched by it. Then the third. Now in the holy place, the place of sanctuary, there was three pieces of furniture. It was the golden lampstand. It was the golden table of bread. And then the golden altar of incense. So when the priest entered into this holy place, he had to light up the menorah, the lamp, with the seven lights, which was the third piece in the furniture. He first started there because this menorah, this lampstand, provided light that he could immediately see his surroundings. But it also, they were amazed by the illumination of the lights of the candles or the whatever they used to light it up. So it was a sense of sight in this sense. Sight is considered the dominant factor and the most important sense. Vision is also tied to mobility and affects the body's ability to balance. Just think of a blind person. Then the Holy Spirit impacts the human eye gate by the method of spiritual illumination. Now, I looked up the word illumination in the Greek. It says fortizo. It means to give light, to brighten up, to enlighten, and it's also a display of light. So inside the sanctuary, when they lighted up these lights on the lampstand, I believe there was all these different colors, beautiful colors, and God was giving them this display of light. You see, we all have physical eyes, but eyes of understanding are the ability to fully understand the spiritual and true meaning of God's word. You see, we need this morning. Ephesians 1:18, it says, "I pray that the eyes," and I pray this morning as well, "that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what the hope of his calling is on your life." Acts 26:18 says, "Lord, I pray to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by having faith in me." 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, "But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, opening of our spiritual gate eyes." Like what happened when Jesus died on that cross, the veil that separated the holies from the Holy of Holies was torn into two. Why? The veil was open. Suddenly everybody could see in the spirit. Do we see? Because Matthew 6, verse 22 to 23 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Remember I said it before, the biggest enemy to darkness is light. And that proves as well that darkness is much faster than light. You go into any place and you switch on a light, darkness disappears immediately. Just think about a blind navigate his surroundings, walking around. And he has to fine-tune his hearing. He has to rely on hearing to see. But the deaf person relies on what he see to hear. And that's what God wants us in the spirit. That we need, even with our sight, when we see, we need to hear as well. And when we hear, we must be able to see. You see, this is your eye focus on 50 different objects every second. 50 different objects. So while you look at me in that second, you've observed 50 different objects. The only organ that's more complex than the eye is the brain. Your eyes can distinguish approximately 10 million different colors. Oh, Praise the Lord. I mean, we haven't seen colors yet. We'll see it in heaven one day. I mean, we think we know the primary colors and when they are mixed together, but we don't. There's 10 million colors that your eyes see. It is impossible to sneeze with your eyes open. Eyes are able to process 36,000 pieces of information in a single hour. Humans are blind for about 40 minutes per day because of the saccadic masking. It's that rapid blinking that you have. It actually, if you count it together, you are blind for 40 minutes a day. In Matthew 15, 14, Jesus taught and he said that these people were blind leaders of the blind. The blind leading the cripple and the blind leading the blind. He says, and their eyes were closed in Matthew 13, 15, meaning their spiritual eyes. He wasn't speaking about their physical eyes. So God this morning wants you to render over, just give over this morning your sight, your smell, so that you can see and you can smell in the spirit as well. Then the fourth implement was the golden table of showbread. Now, this was a table with showbread with 12 fresh loaves that were baked each week and laid in rows on the table. Now, once a week, the high priest had permission to eat this bread. And that's when God and man sat together at one table and enjoyed food together, have fellowship with each other. A table is a place where friends should fellowship, where we fellowship with our friends with Jesus. The priest required a sense of taste to experience the taste of bread. You know what is so wonderful? We don't have to go into the sanctuary anymore. We can eat as much as we want daily of the bread of life that we want to. Jesus said, I am the bread. So we can enjoy the bread. The priest had to wait for once a week to eat the bread. We can eat it every day. Are you spending enough time at the table with God, enjoying the bread of life? Only you can answer that. There's a close link between smell and the sense of taste. The taste buds have five types. It was sweet, it's salty, it's bittery, it's savory, and meaty. And then our tongue is divided into two sections. The one is more sensitive to the sweet, and the one is more sensitive to the taste of sour. James 3:8 says, but the tongue is also called an unruly and evil organ in the body. You see, when you are taste the sweetness, which is actually the bitterness of the sins of the word, how will you be able to distinguish when the sweet taste of Jesus is given to you? We're going to miss it. You see, when we receive the Holy Spirit, it fills us with power from heaven. Luke 24:49 says, I'm sending you what my Father promised. Wait here in the city until you receive the power from heaven. The power from heaven. What taste do we give off to the world this morning? Because it says, because I just want to say it quickly, we are the salt of the earth, Jesus said in Matthew 5:13. He says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer food. You see, we are the taste to the world. When they don't believe the food that Jesus has died, they don't believe it, that our taste that we will give them the desire to accept Jesus. What's the use of salt in the Old Testament? Or in the New, in the history, it was two purposes in the Middle East. First, it was giving flavor to bread and that. And secondly, it was a preservative to keep meat fresh for long periods of time in the heat. So believers of Christ, we are the salt of the word. So we must also be there preserving ourselves because we are the salt. But also there to reach out a helping hand to help others to be preserved so that they can lay off their sins until the day of Jesus Christ appears to fetch us. So we have to make a decision today to taste more of God and become a good taste to the world. Sometimes the only thing that stands between an unbeliever and Christ is me and you. Our obedience. We are standing sometimes between that. The book of Psalms says, taste in Psalm 34 verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Isn't that amazing? It's almost confusing. Taste and see. In the spirit, you will be able. When you taste, you will see. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 to 3 says, we should taste of the graciousness of the Lord. When we eat of the sweet and the graciousness of the Lord, we will grow maturely. That's the only place where you can overdo the sweetness and not pick up weight, but just get matured. And also the one where we need to eat constantly from this sweetness of the grace of God. And then we read where the angel instructing John to eat the little book, and then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. Then he took the little book out of the angel's hand and he ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in his mouth. So as we are filled with the sweetness of God, God's word, we also need to release that sweet taste and smell onto others in the world around us. We taste and see that God is good. Tasting the goodness of God also speaks of us receiving revelation and enlightenment by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Samson came, he killed a lion by breaking open his jaw. Later, when he came back, a swarm of bees produced a nice honeycomb inside for him. What did he do? He ate it. They weren't allowed. He weren't allowed to touch a dead animal. He weren't allowed to cut his hair. And the other interesting thing, the place that was the nearest where bees could find honey in that time was in the vineyards, and he wasn't allowed to also have wine. And that was an unholy act of him. But see, Satan sometimes, in 1 Peter 5:8, we read there that He is like a lion that will come to kill and to devour. So he's sometimes that lion that opens his mouth and he has the sweetness of honey inside his mouth. He is busy fooling us, and we eat of that honey where the real lion, the Lion of Judah, died on the cross, and he provided us the sweetness of salvation that we need to eat. See, Jesus came as that lion. What is sweeter than the word of God, or what is stronger than his right hand? You see, in him is stored the sweetness of wisdom, understanding, and it says, gathered from the dew of heaven and the flowers of divine grace. The fifth was the final one, that was the golden altar. Also was the site of offering incense. Now many people come, I thought the incense is actually the smell. It wasn't. This incense was for hearing. It was important to offer prayers up to God in place of intercession and prayer. The incense was a special God-prescribed formula that they had to burn. Send out a fragrance of smoke that could be smelled everywhere, in the mornings and at the evenings. What is our incense? We don't burn incense anymore. Let's read. Our incense is our prayers, our prayer life, your personal altar. And I say it every Sunday, we have to get back to our personal altars. That is where we will give our incense. It says here in Psalm 141:2, let my prayer be like incense offered before you, and my uplifted hands like the evening sacrifice. Like the evening sacrifice that they brought in the temple. You see, our high priest are the one in whose name we pray. And there is power, and it is pleasing as it's releasing this fragrance to God. Spiritual ears must be open to hear what the Spirit is saying. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit say. Revelation 2:7. You see, the ear is a gate that will determine how all the information that you receive, all of it, will be processed. Because your ears never stops hearing. Your ears help you with balance. Think this morning, is your spiritual life balanced? Are you trying, standing on the balance, to keep the world going? And my prayer life. You see, our spiritual ears will bring that balance in our life. Different people can hear the same message I said by the same person and hear different versions of that. Act 28:27. These people have become close-minded and hard of hearing. They have shut their eyes, so their eyes never see, their ears never hear, their minds never understand, and they never turn to me for healing. The reason is that some of us, maybe today, you have a true spiritual hearing and worshiping God. You have a life of true spiritual growth, and you've got hearing ears in the spirit, and others are listening with the natural ears. Remember, that's where the enemy is daily in our lives. He's daily whispering in our ears all the time. Man, it's maybe not a good ear, but try it. Just try it. Others are trying, they are fine. Let me just try it. That's why it's important that we have spiritual ears that are tuned in to the frequency of the Holy Spirit and God. You need to let God tune in your ears this morning so you can hear what you should hear. Because humans filter information through the filters of their upbringings and traditions. We see it in churches. That's why we always select the type of preaching. We will select type of music we listen to, a type of style, because of what we hear. But our biggest problem as humans is the following. We often filter out what we should be hearing, and we hear what we should have been filtering out. Take the Pharisees. They were masters, and they only hear or heard what agreed with their doctrines and their traditions. Nothing else they hear. And that's why they were the ones that hanged Jesus on the cross as well. The truth of the Spirit can never change your spirit if your ears are a closed gate this morning to hear the voice of God. That is why Jesus said, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing do they not hear, nor do they understand." Matthew 13:13. Acts 8, verse 29. Philip, I spoke about it last week as well. He heard the angel, not in time, but then the Spirit of God spoke to him and said he has to go to a certain place. And when he listened, he found the Ethiopian, and the Ethiopian was saved and baptized that day. And we read in the history books that this Ethiopian changed the place where he was from. All because Philip had the ability to hear the voice of God. That is why we need to train our senses. And we read that in the Bible. So that we have spiritual discernment and how to apply it. Our five senses are five gates leading into the innermost part of our spiritual life. 1 Corinthians 3:18, meaning the holy of the holies of our physical temple. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Just as the temple, the priest was watchman over the temple's gates, me and you are the watchman of the gates of our five senses. You see, Psalm 115, verse 3 to 8 says, "Our God in the heavens, he does all he pleases, but the idols of the world are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, do not speak. They have eyes, do not see. Take a television, take a cell phone." It's all this, no? "They have ears, but do not hear. They have noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel. Feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat." Isn't that a description of us sometimes? We're not even an idol, but aren't we instrument in God's hands that sometimes are dead? The Holy Spirit uses the five gates of our temple and the five senses to help us to discern evil from good and to experience the true presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, God uses this natural senses as a gateway. And let's read Romans 14:17. God uses our natural sense to reflect his spiritual impartation so we can experience the Spirit's impact on our minds. And here it comes. "And the Spirit bringing righteousness, peace, and joy." So our minds, our senses, tend to be operating more on the carnal and the fleshy than sometimes on the spirit. And that's how Satan comes uses and this fleshy senses allowing fear, disappointment, unbelief, doubt, skepticism to influence